to me. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I didn't lose them. I just misplaced them. But that is okay because I got paper, so. But I don't know what happened. Maybe I put them in my stick and the stick is on there. Let me check just right quick. But I never had this problem before, so I don't know what's going on. But anyway, let's use paper today. Nothing wrong with paper. So how are you doing? Okay, amen. So I hope you didn't expect somebody else tonight. I hope you expected the Holy Ghost. Because it doesn't matter who stands back here. You came to listen at God's word anyway. You didn't came to listen at me to begin with. And we just thank God tonight because we have this opportunity to serve you. We just want to say something to help you tonight, you know, in any way or manner or shape that we can. So we can move forward with the Lord. It's all we want. We want to move forward. So let us have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you tonight. Father, we love you. We ask you, Father, that you just come among us. We already invited you, Father. We have already sung the Son of Zion. Father, and now we want to sit down at your feet and let you minister the word of God to us, Father. Those things that we need to know, that we have to do, Father. Whatever we are short, Father, help us examine our heart. I will examine my heart first, Father. And if there's something there not pleasing to you, Father, I want you to just take it out of, root it out of there, Father, because I want to please you. I want to do your desire tonight, Father. Amen. Father, I know that is our desire, all of us, to please you tonight, Father. Help us, Father, as the service progresses, Father. Have your way, Father. Have your way from the pulpit to the back door. In Jesus' name, we ask you these things. Amen. Let us read one scripture before we sit down. Galatians 3:23. Says, but before faith came, talking about the intention of the law, what Paul is talking about, before faith came, we were kept under the law. Shut up, you know, unto the faith which should afterward will be revealed. It says, therefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. So that is good. The law wasn't bad at all. But in before we got to Christ, something has to keep us. And I'm glad that the Lord will keep us going forward to him. Not away from him, but to him. Thus, that we might be justified by faith. But after the faith is come, after Jesus Christ come and fill you with the Holy Ghost, we are no longer under the law. Because the law was our schoolmaster. See? It teaches us how to behave, how to do right, you know, how to go the way the Lord wants us to go. But after we be introduced through Christ, we are saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. Now the Lord takes over. Amen. He said, but after the faith is come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster, for ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you has been baptized in Christ, now it says, put on Christ. Have put on Christ. So, until, you know, you've been baptized with the Spirit of God, then, finally, you put on Christ. But in the meantime, the law is there to keep you until something else comes and direct your life. Amen. So you can be seated. So we are going to read from Romans 13, chapter 8 and 9, verse 8 and 9, I'm sorry, to take the context from from there too, because Paul also preaches the same thing to the Romans with a little bit more clarity. So it says, owe no man anything. So Paul is talking to here in these verses about submission to authority. See, the law, we have to be submitted to the law and fulfill the law by, he says, through love. It's what he's talking about. So he says, owe no man anything. Okay? But to love one another. So now he's saying, owe no man anything, but you have a debt you got to pay. You have to love one another. You have to love mankind. You have to love the way God loved you and forgave you. Now you have to pay that forward. So you owe me, and I owe you as a body of Christ. The same thing with you, young people. You need to love. We're going to see that for he that love and one another fulfill what? The law. Because if you love one another, you don't steal from one another. If you love one another, you're not jealous of one another, covetous of one another. If you love God, you don't have other gods before him, like the law says. So when you love one another, you have fulfilled the law. Amen? Now, of course, that is until. That love is not going to end when Jesus Christ comes and saves you. That love continues. But if you are saved and not filled with the Holy Ghost yet, you're still, living by rules, young people, because you still live under mom and dad. And mom is the law and dad is the law. You might be saved, you might accept the Lord, but if you don't have the Holy Ghost yet, and even if you get the Holy Ghost, you still got to obey mom and dad as long as you live under their roof. So what I'm saying is you still have to love the rules. You might not agree with them, but you want to love the rules because the rules are there to protect you and to save you and to keep you until you can make your own mind, of course, as God leads you to do these things. But in the meantime, you have to submit yourself to mom and dad and respect mom and dad because they want the well-being of you. The welfare is only you. The interest is only in you. So Paul says, so owe no man anything but love one another. Says, now verse 9, for this, if you love one another now, thou shalt not commit adultery. See, that's the law. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witnesses. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it's briefly comprehended in the same, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor and yourself. So if I haven't not covered anything else, this should cover everything else, right? Love work not ill to his neighbors. Therefore, love is fulfilling of the law. So in the meantime, young people, we fulfill the law of our parents, They are the one that sets the rules. See? And all they're doing it is for your best interest and to protect you and to keep you because they love you. So in the meantime, we have to be obedient and we have to be respectful to our parents, to our godly parents, because that's their God responsibility to bring you up in a godly way. Train your children at the way they should go. So that is our responsibility as parents, is to lay down the law until that time comes that you will be saved and, receive the Holy Spirit that will lead you from there on. That don't mean that you are going to stop asking for help. I mean, you still need counseling and you don't know everything at that point. So we don't know everything either, but we know a little bit more than you. We have experienced more. And we have done more mistakes too. Anyway, so we have learned. We have learned here and there. So let me give you here an example right quick. What I'm calling, you pay a love debt, you still owe that debt. He said, but I thought when the Lord saved me, he wiped clean my slate and I don't owe anything to nobody. You're right. But now you have to love one another. That did not disappear from the picture. It's still there. See? Then the Lord, this is Matthew 18:27. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him his debt. Now, we're talking about this guy that had he owed this guy a lot of money, you know, and he couldn't pay him for whatever situation he found himself. So he says he wanted him to forgive him for what he owed him. He says, then his Lord, after that, he has called him. He said unto him, oh, thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desired me. So, but he's saying now, you should not thou also have, shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even if I have pity on thee? So he's a guy, you know, that owes. He begged for forgiveness. The guy compassionate forgive him. And then he said, oh, well, I'm going to make some money now. Since I don't owe him his money, I'm going to get all my money back. Since I don't have to pay it, then at least I break even or something. See? So he went trying to collect from everybody that owes him, collect his money. But he says, you should have done the same thing I done to you. I forgave you. Why don't you forgive everybody else? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that he was due unto him. So the second stage was worse than the first one, see? Should likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your heart forgive not every one of his brother, their trespasses. See? So what are we talking here? Talking about the golden rule. You know, do unto others what you prefer for them to do unto you. So young people, you're going to have problems at school, at work, and bullies and all this stuff. But right now, you need to love your enemy. Right now, you need to love those that persecute you. You need to love those that say false things, immoral things about you. You have to, I mean, today, well, you know, with the AI, they put your face in the, you know that, huh? See, you put your face in the phones, and they make you say it and do things that you didn't even do. That wasn't even you. But what you do, young people, you cannot just retaliate. You belong, you know, to the Lord, and you have Christian fathers, so you should live loving everybody and forgive them. So that is the rule. So you said, Brother Branham says here, he was talking about these things, and then he made this statement. At the end, he said, Brother Branham, he said, you said, Brother Branham, I never harm anybody. I never kill anybody. I never, you know, done gross. I never stole. I never do all these things. I'm a good guy. And then Brother Branham said, that is not still what I am asking you about. It is the life of Christ in you. That is should be the force behind all of actions. See? It is not how good you are or how bad you are or how ugly you are. It has nothing to do with that. Brother Brian is trying to explain, it is the life of Christ in you that make you do these things, that make you forgive your enemy. So when you are at school, you know, the Bible says over here that you should pray. Let's read it, because that's the next statement. So if you want to make Satan mad, young people, okay, how many want to make Satan mad? I like to, right? I'm going to give you a tip here how to make him mad. Matthew 5:43, you have heard that the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemy, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you, and persecute you. Now, that's hard to do for us, as in the flesh, but not for God. Because we are supposed to put on Christ and have the life of Christ. How are we going to testify? How are we going to witness to people if we're going to be acting like they do? And you never know. Praying for your enemy, praying for those that despitefully use you, pray for those that bully you. Who you don't know, maybe by your prayer, you can change that destiny. So the best thing is to pray and not retaliate. No? He said, but say unto you, love one another, bless them, curse you, bless that the one that curse you, do good to them that hate you, do good to them that hate you, and love your enemy, and pray for them who despitefully use you. Pray. Now, don't pray that God, will you change this guy so he stop bugging me? No. Pray that God will change you. And this is the story of Abraham that I love so much, a lot. You know, and God, I mean, God came in the scene and says, my friend Abraham, I love that story. Abraham was worried about Lot being in Sodom or Gomorrah, whatever he was at. And that was his nephew, that's family, that's flesh at least, anyway. But he didn't want him to be lost out there. Now, he didn't know yet what God was going to do, but he was interceding and always praying for Lot. He cared for Lot. And then we should care for one another, and you should care for everybody else too, and love everybody. That's what God do. God loved the sinner. You cannot just, do anything else but that if the Lord is in you. So, Abraham is worried. He's been praying. He's been interceding. And then he didn't know what God was going to do. Destroy the place. But then he moved God's heart and says, should I just don't tell Abraham what I'm going to do? He already listened at the prayer. Now God is saying, if I'm telling what I'm going to do, I'm going to destroy the place, and Lot was going to go with him too. But see, his prayer, his interceding, it moved God to the point he says, I'm going to have to tell Abraham, he is my friend. You can't, you could do that. You consider these enemies your friend. You don't have to treat them like what they are. You want them to change, but treat them the way you want to be treated. If it's your enemy, don't treat him like your enemy. Satan hates that. Because Satan is actually the enemy. It's not that guy. It's not that brother. It is the devil. But if you love that brother and you love him into, Satan gets upset. Because he wants you to do the opposite to what, Christ wants us to do. So God said, I need to talk to Abraham. Because he don't know yet, but he needs to know. I mean, God, that don't respond to anybody. He don't need to tell anybody what he wants to do. But he says, Abraham, I'm going to go and do this. And Abraham, he was already worried about it. Now he says, but hold on, Lord. If you find 40, 20, 10, finally one, will you spare the place? But God knew who he was interceding for. Now, at this point, God did not go to Lot to help him. He didn't send any help yet. He went to what? To Abraham. Who was praying for Lot? Lot didn't know, maybe, but God went to the one that was praying for. And he says, Lot, Abraham, my friend, I know. And this is what I'm going to do. Then I start interceding Abraham. And he says, okay, if it's even one, I would have spared the place. See, you don't know what your prayers can do. For those that treat you wrong and persecute you, and those that you don't like at school, you get to praying. God will come. God will fulfill his word. And if it's through love, and I'm not talking just to pray just to get rid of the situation. It has to be done in love. Through love, we obey the law. We have to love the people. We have to love the person. We don't love what they're doing, but we have to love them. And when you do that, God will change the situation. And maybe that guy never had another chance in his life. But God is looking for someone to intercede. Someone. And he might not even send you to take care of the problem. He sent angels to take care of the problem, messengers. So if he sends you, fine, but sometimes God will work all this out and you don't even know. And next day, who knows, the guy come and hug you and kiss you and you wonder, you know, whoa, what do you have under your sleeve now? Because sometimes after God do things, we don't want to even believe. I mean, this is unbelievable. I didn't know God was, well, he did it. He will do it. But we get all surprised sometimes, you know. So, love one another and pay a debt to humankind. God loved you to save you because we deserve what the same thing. We deserve death, young people. And the only thing we can change this is by also paying forward. God loved me, so we need to love everybody the way he loved us. And the way you understand the love of God in your life is the way you're going to love one another. The way you understand how much God forgave you and the way we were, at least me, I know how I was. Terrible. I was the black sheep of the family. Yeah. I mean, I was talking to John the other day. I was terrible. I left too, and, you know, rebellious to the core. You know. But God forgave me. And he lifted off all my burdens. Don't you want the same thing for your bully friends and those ones that... We don't want no one to be lost, but to come to the knowledge of salvation of God. And that's God. So, Brother Brown says, you know, that is not still what I am talking about. It is the life of Christ in you that will make a difference. But in the meantime, until that life will come, love the law, love your parents, respect the church, respect the pastor, you know, all the wisdom that comes around, you know. In the meantime, if you have a problem, that's what you go to, you know. And love the law. Don't despise it. Some people ask for help, but they just, if they don't hear what they want to hear, that was the end of the law, you know, the end of everything. Sometimes, you know, you will not agree with what you hear, but that is what's best for you. And you will find out if you do it. Now, so that is the only way we can make Satan mad. When he wants us to be angry, we want to love what, you know, amen, those. And he sure going to get furious about it. I know. And I want to make him mad anyway. So John, 1 John 4:17 says, here is our love made perfect. Man, here is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in that day of judgment, because he is upstairs, who? As Christ. So we are, well, here. So if anybody going to see God, it's going to be in you. If anybody going to feel his mercies and grace and love and forgiveness, it's going to be you. You are the body that God is going to use. You are the one that he's going to use to manifest his love to humankind. And because he loved me, we need to love one another and our neighbor also. He says, but this is where love is perfect, as he is in heaven. So we are in this world. And he's interceding for us. So we should be interceding for those as well. I mean, if we do just this thing, we will be busy for the rest of the time. He come. I'm not saying that you have that many enemies, but you find people all day long, people that have problems. I mean, look at the news. Not even worth to be looking at the news. But let's continue. Romans 13:11-13, and that knowing the times that we are living, that's what I was going next. That now it is high time to awake out of the sleep. See? And we had a wake call already. And both the virgins woke up, the 10 virgins, right? The bridegroom is coming. We already have our call. He said, for now our salvation is nearer than it was when we believed. See? The night is far spent. The day is at hand. So that means all those nights, the night is darkness. You know, we were in darkness at one time. But we're no longer in darkness because we have come from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. So that is far spent. We are not the same creature. We're a new creature. So we don't go back and do all those things because we no longer need to go back because we are walking in the light now. The day is the light. So let us therefore cast off the work of darkness. See? At one point I would have probably done something to somebody that would have done something to me, but I don't do that any longer. I can't. I won't do it. And let us put on the armor of light. Young people, you have to put the armor of light. And that is putting the life of Christ, that is putting his garment on. You know, he left his throne. He left his royal clothes. In fact, he took our filthy rags and he gave you his garment. You know, and those are the garments of light. And we should be walking around shedding light to a lost world. That's what people in chaos. People are looking for some reality. I mean, look at that world out there. You know, if I wasn't safe and filled with the Holy Ghost, I would go crazy. I don't know what's going to happen next. People in the street, you can hardly go anywhere that people, you know, even killing people. And then, so I'm glad that I'm no longer living the darkness, that I'm being transferred to the kingdom of Christ, the light. But he says, the night is far spent. So let's forget, we are a new creature. That old God is dead. We don't need to go back. We need to go forward. See, and that's why the light comes, to take us forward. Let us therefore cast off the work of darkness and let put on the armor of light. Now, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in riotings. You know, that's what we got all over the nation. Mutinies, yes. Rebellion, demonstrations, yeah. Revolting. Yeah. It's today. But he says, we don't do that. Not even in our churches. Sometimes people rebel and leave, but that's another point. But he said, that's what we would have done before when we used to be in darkness. But now we are walking in the light. We are that's no longer me. You cannot live the same life. Once you meet Christ, once you have been saved, you cannot go back and live the same life. That guy is dead. He says, and drunkenness, not in chambering, wantonness, not in strife, and in envy. Drunkenness, you know what that is? Chambering, it means in those days, you know, when a man committed fornication, adultery, they go to a chamber, you know, with the maid, whatever. And that's why I don't go around chambering. Wantonness, you know, just wanting to and never coming to, you know, a satisfaction. We want this, we want that, and we want to do this, I want to try this. But never coming to satisfy. Nothing out there will satisfy, you know. In a strife and envy. Matthew 24:38 says, for as in the day that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving into marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And we know this scripture. There's nothing wrong with eating. There's nothing wrong with drinking. There's nothing wrong with marrying. What happened is that's all they were doing. Yeah. Living for the weekend. I used to do that at one point. You know, living for the weekend. Work hard so I can go, you know, Friday and Saturday. You know, social Fridays and all that stuff. And that's what the world is today. You know, they work for the weekend. Because that's all they have. But he said, but they are not, you know, watching for the coming of the Lord. They can. But you and I, that's what we are doing. We don't live that way. See? Nothing wrong with, like I said, marrying and giving into marriage and eating. But the thing is, that's not the only thing we do. But these people live day by day for that. I used to be that way too. But I'm no longer. I'm so glad I'm no longer that way. Because now I live for him, for the Lord. And I'm watching for the coming of the Lord. You know, I'm not so much in the cares of this world. and clogging my spiritual channels. You know, because that's what happened, young people. Let me give you some wisdom here. This world is full of all kind of things that will entice you. In my days, it was no phone. In my days, it was no this, you know. In my days, it wasn't much of anything. When I was born, the TV wasn't even on yet. At least in Puerto Rico, it hasn't got there yet. I think it was 1950 when the first TV or whatever, something like that. So anyway, what I'm saying is, my problem was some other problems. But you got so much. Sin has been so sinful. Now it's getting worse. And now you're getting enticed. Everywhere you go, there's something. Satan is using, and technology is the worst. Internet. So you have to be careful because you get so busy. You get so busy with school and with activities and with this and with that. Then you come to church and you have a test on Monday and you didn't make no provision for that because you're making provision for the flesh. Well, I got to do this today. I got to play here. I got to practice here. I got to this day and that. Then when Sunday comes, what happened? Well, I'm so tired and I got a test. I'm going to stay home. See, don't make provision for your flesh. Make provision for to come to church. So what Paul is saying is here, you know, sometimes all this can clog your channels. And you wake up in the morning and, oh, I'm late. What happened to praying? What happened to reading the Bible? Well, I do it tonight when I get home. Yeah, you go again. You get home and you're so tired and then you went to sleep. And there he goes. So if you get too involved in things in life, you might clog that channel, you know, that we're supposed to be in, that having that communion with the Lord every day as we go. And that's what we want. So maybe you are not giving in too much or being married and eating a lot, but you have to be careful, both for the cares of this world can entice you to just clog your spiritual life. And you don't want to do that. Romans 13:14 said, but put ye on what? The Lord Jesus Christ. And make no provision for the flesh. I know I got to go to work. I know we got to do those things. But beside that, the only provision that I do is to come to church. Sundays is a busy for the people in the world. I remember I was out there and everything. They do it Saturday and Sunday. Friday is the best day for them to go out. To go skiing, to go water skiing, snow skiing. I mean, whatever you want to do, you know, they have made provisions, you know, all week they work and they buy because, you know, come the weekend, we're gone. We're going to have some fun. Well, I used to be there too. But when you come to Christ, now we don't make no more provision. And I'm saying you can go on vacation. I'm not talking about that. I don't want you to go to and be like a nun or if I'm going to a monastery and do that. I'm not saying that. But if it's going to hinder your walk, then think about making provision for the flesh first. Always, he says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust. And this is where, you know, when I was used to be young, you know, it's a lot of enticement. And Satan wants to entice you with a lot of things, you know, so you can lust and desire. I mean, we're not going to mention all the things out there, but all I'm saying is be careful because it's after you. Don't make no provision to get yourself entangled, you know, because then you forget what's real. And what is real life and Christ, you know, put on Christ. Because that will be your best bet. Don't wait. You know, so, but, you know, yeah, let me enjoy my life. When I get to 40 or 50, when I get old like you, then I'm, how do you know you're going to get old like me? I didn't even know I was going to get old, but here I am. Now it's your turn. No, don't get old. It's not good. Anyway, so What I'm talking about, don't make provision for the flesh. Is don't go out and be careful to get entangled, you know, with the world and things of the world. You know, well, the boys and the girls. Oh, but we're going to have a little party here and there. You know, at school. I know. I've been in school. We all been in school. And they entice you, you know, but we're just going to get together. Just, you know, my mom is going to be there. My dad, no. That mom is not there. They just want to get together. And yeah, we're not going to do nothing wrong. Just be careful. Mm-hmm. Don't make provisions. You know better. And your fathers know better. And I know, you know, when things happen, we don't want to talk to our mom or dad, you know. Because we know it's wrong to begin with. They won't let me go. If you ask them, they won't let you go. So, what we try to make ways, you know, to get in trouble is what's going to happen at the end. So don't make provisions for that. You're going to make provisions, you know, make provision to come to church. Make provision to pray. Make provision to read your Bible. Make provision to intercede for one another. You know, that takes time. Praying and interceding takes some time. Make provision for these things. And not to let the world, you know, entice you and take away, you know, what is really life, actually. Amen. So continue here. That word keeps coming, popping out, you know. Put on Christ. How do you put on Christ? How you put on Christ? Let's answer that question. First, you have to receive the Holy Ghost. It's first thing first. That is how you put in Christ. Then, once you do that, the Bible says you imitate your father. You imitate him. You replicate. You emulate. You want to reproduce. He wants to reproduce his life in you. So that is the desire that comes. You know, when I put on Christ, no longer is me, but it's him, Paul said, that lives in me by faith. When you put that garment on, see, now you take on another character. That's no longer you. That old you is dead now. So now we are on a different character. I didn't even like my first character. I'm glad it's dead. And we're not going to go there because this is not what this preaching is about me. It's about you. Listen, taking the character of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it is to put in Christ. And that is what I want. I want to copy. I want to do. He called us so he can manifest himself through us. And how is he going to do that? Unless we desire to imitate him. And that's it. To put on Christ is just, like I said, we assume the person, his character, see? And we want to act like he act. And we want to sustain that character. So everything that he was is what I want to be. He wants to use my hands. He wants to use my eyes. He wants to use my body. You know, and that's what I mean. You put on Jesus Christ because the old guy is dead. Now he's a new sheriff in town giving orders. The other guy is not giving no more orders. So when you put in Christ, you want to live his life. He left us enough examples in the Bible. I remember one time I go something like, what would Jesus would do? And that is fine. That is the word, you know, that is what is written. But you still need the Spirit to make sure that word we live, see? You not only need the word, said be baptized in word and what? In Spirit. In water, actually is what it is, but the water is the word and Spirit. Water is baptism. And once you baptize, you have to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But we want to assume the person and the character of Jesus Christ. That's what it means to put Christ on. What are you doing is putting Christ on display. So others can see Christ in you. Or who you want him to see, young people. I don't want anyone to see me. I'm too full of fault and I'm still making bad choices. errors, I want them to look at what? At him. In fact, I want to come to a point that they will not never see me again in life, but they see who? Him in me. And that's what it is to put on Christ. The life of Christ. Let's read what Brother Branham says in conference. He says, you could ask them if they are Christian. Say, oh, I belong to so and so. That don't have anything to do with it. God don't care, Brother Branham snapped his finger, that about your organization. He wants to know if you are born again. He says, if you are not born again, then you are not a Christian. You can only be a Christian when you take the life of Christ in you. Now you can call yourself a Christian. If the life of Christ is in you, it will produce the life of Christ. And that's good just for the young people. It's good for you all the too. Not so young people. If this message don't produce Christ in me, I will be disappointed. But I'm not going to be disappointed because it's already started working. Amen. And the first thing is to love one another. A new commandment I give unto you. Love one another. By this, people will know that you are what? My disciples indeed. It says, if the life of Christ is in you, it will produce the life of Christ. And that's what you want, young people. I don't want my life anymore. I want his life living through me. Could you gather peaches on watermelon vines? Certainly not. Now, Philippians 3:14 says, I press towards the mark, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that's what I titled my sermon, High Heavenly Calling, because that is a tall calling. It's a tall calling to reproduce Christ in your life. And that's what you have been called, to reproduce God in flesh once again. But that has to be first step, is being born again of the Spirit of God. And then no longer you have to be, need the schoolmaster of the law. Now you have somebody else in you that is going to tutor you to the rest of the way. It's going to teach you. It's going to show you things. It's going to help you. In any moment, he says, press toward the mark of the price of the high calling. And Hebrews 3:1 says, therefore, holy brethren, partake of the heavenly calling. Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Amen. That is a top call. Can you imagine to be like him? We seem to be like him. That's a top calling. But however, you don't have to worry about it because you don't have to make it happen. If God lives in you, Christ lives in you, he will reproduce that life in you. All you have to do is let go and let God take care. Whatever situation you're on, it doesn't matter. It says, the profession of Christianity is to take on the character of Christ. And that's why we come to church. He has left an example to follow. But not only he has given an example to follow, but he has given us his mind. So that's what I'm saying. You don't have to worry, because if you have the mind of Christ, he will make you. You don't have to struggle with it. This message is hard. Yes, it's hard if you try to live it on your own. But if you let him live this message through you, he give you his mind. And not only examples, the Bible is full of examples of Christ. And you can do what Jesus did, and that's good. But then you need to have the mind of Christ to reproduce that in your life. Without him, you cannot reproduce the word. It takes his mind. And then you have to lose yours. That's the struggle, huh? That's the fight. Taking on his mind. Colossians 2:16 says, for who had known the mind of the Lord? that he may instruct him. But we have the mind of Christ, and we should, as Christians, have the mind in us which was in him. So that is what your desire is. That is what your longing is. That's why you come to church. You don't want my mind. You want his mind. But you're going to have to surrender. You have to let go. You have to desire to imitate him, to copy him. You have to have that longing for him to come and shape you and form you. So that means you have to let go. Let go of the ideas and all the other stuff that keep you away from, you know, all the cares of the world that keep you away from the goal. Right. Satan wants to keep you away from the goal, and the goal is, I want to be a reproduction of him. Amen. And I don't have to wait until I go to heaven or when the rapture happens. It has to happen before that. Right. That I'm a little closer than you, that's fine. You know what's going to happen? If the rapture will happen sooner or later, and you're still children, so you're still teenagers, it will be a quick work done on you. Because you're going to have to go the same way I went. I received the Holy Ghost. I had to go through all this. You got to go through all this. You cannot go in the coattail of your grandma or your father or anything. You're going to have to do the same. Receive the Holy Ghost and go through all the whole training and through the whole journey. Right. Now, man, it was longer, so, you know, 40, 50 years now. But if the Lord comes in a few years, he's going to have to do a quick work to bring you guys to where I am. That's good. I like to be your age, so I don't have to struggle with these 75 years. Lord, do a quick work on me. It's too late for quick work. It has taken me it's been a long journey, yes, Brother Doug. Galatians 3:26. For ye are children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm throwing this one in here because I want to explain something else about water baptism. For many of you have been baptized into Christ, has put Christ. As many as you have being baptized in Christ. But the first statement he makes in 3:26, for ye are all children of God by faith. 27, he says, but as many, so that means not all of them have been baptized, but as many, so now you have two different kind of people, Christians in church. And that's what I want to cover right quick. So, there are those that have received the baptism of water, you know, and made a public confession, you know, and you are saved and made that. But still you have to receive the Holy Ghost. And that's what was the difference between the first one and the second one. And I'm going to get somewhere with this. Let's listen to what Brother Branham says. Therefore, people, hear how we come with the church. Come with the church. To the church now. By repenting, being baptized in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins, and promise that we will, not that we are going to, but he's talking about that people that they came to church, accepted Christ, they got baptized in the water, but he said, and they will receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because I know some of you are in that point, that you have been baptized, and you're waiting for the Lord to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Therefore, there is no preacher can shake you us into it. There is no priest that can bow us into it. But we are born into it by the King of the Messianic Kingdom. Amen. So, Brother Barnes says also, how do we get into his body? Now we're talking about the church and we're talking about the body. Okay? How we done it? Baptized by the Holy Spirit now to get into the body. So you can come to church and you accepted the message and you got baptized in water, baptism. And you love the Lord and you continue coming, but you're still waiting, you know, for the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Because you cannot start this journey until you have the man of Christ and you have to put on Christ so the reproduction will start. And depend how much do you desire to have them. Because the Lord desires to fill you more than you desire to have it. Young people. Brother Branham says, now, so there are those that come to church, they have been baptized, water baptism, but they have not received the infilling of the Holy Ghost, but they are waiting into it. And they say, nobody's going to scare them from that. And that's good. You just come with that desire. That I don't care what happened, I'm going to get the Holy Ghost. I don't know why you don't have it, and I don't know when it's going to come. That's between you and, you know, that's God choosing. It's not my choosing. I will do it the best I can. We create an atmosphere. We preach the right thing. We do what we can as ministers to so you can receive it. But at the end, it's God. Because you don't know when that day is going to be. And you don't know what service it will be. So that behooves you to come to every service if you want the Holy Ghost. I mean, when I miss church because I'm sick or I have to stay home on vacation, I miss church. I mean, we're going to talk about that in a minute, but let's leave that there. He says, and Brother Brian continues saying, a man that is good, a good man can be just a good church member. He can be baptized in water. As a Christian, a man that is a good man can be just a good citizen too. As a Christian, a good man, moral man. But when he dies, that is, unless he's born again of the Spirit, because everything that had beginning has an end. And what Brother Branham is trying to explain is, everything that is created is going to die. The only thing that is not going to die is the Spirit of God. Amen. So if we sit in church, and in this message, there's a lot of people that sit in church, they don't have the Holy Spirit. And if the Lord decides to come, because this has to die and go back, that's all it is. It ends there until, I'm not trying to scare you, but until the day of judgment. And then you'll be judged according to your works and what you knew. But we don't want to wait that long. You know, we should be coming to church every service. You know, Lord, fill me. Lord, fill me. If you don't fill me, I die right here. Lord, fill me. I will not stop until you fill me. This should be our first priority, young people. Before you take another step. In fact, I will not take another step until I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Because I don't know what I'm going to do and what step I'm going to go, what direction I'm going to go, what I'm going to think. That's first thing conferred. That's the first step. Yeah. Get the one that is going to guide you and lead you and take you first before you can take any step. So in the meantime, don't do anything. Just sit and receive the Holy Ghost. You don't have to beg for it. You don't have to beg. He wants to give it to you. But how much do you desire the Holy Ghost? So instead of making provision for the flesh, make provision to get the Holy Ghost. That's what I will do, young people. Go to the pastor, say, let's have a special meeting this week, and I want, let's bring somebody here. Now, Brother Eli, bring somebody here that can call, you know, heaven to earth and pour the Holy Ghost on us. You know, it will happen. Is that the desire? Because that desire will not be yours. God put the desire in your heart. You know, and that's why we're trying to help with this meeting for the young people, because that's what we want for you, an infilling. I know that without it, I cannot make it. Yeah. All my life, I try. And I got in more trouble and more deeper. I'm done with that. It says, everything that had beginning has an end. So, Brother present a three kind of believers, actually. One that is a good Christian, had not had the Holy Ghost. One that he has a good Christian, got baptized, but is waiting for the infilling and nothing's going to shake him out of that. You know, go, that's what I want. And the last one is the one that you know, sits over there and comes. He's a good guy, and he enjoyed the service. He enjoyed the fellowship. In fact, he probably donate more than I can donate and do more good than I can do. But if the Lord happens to come, or he dies, that will be the end. So see how important it is that we have an infilling of the Spirit. Because that is the beginning of our journey. Now, Galatians 3:24. I'm going to skip that one, but I want to read. It says, let me read it. Therefore, the law was schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. Oh, I got to put one on. Okay, unto Christ. That we might be justified by faith. But after the faith is come, after Christ has come, because that's the faith of Christ in you. It's a gift of God. See? We are no longer under the law until he comes. See? Until Christ comes to our life. Then we get filled with the Holy Ghost. Then we can learn of him. We don't need the law. The law has done his job. It was good. It brought me all the way here. Now somebody else is going to take over. So now the law is not needed because I'm going to learn from him, straight from him. I'm going to hear his voice. And he says over here, he's going to make me wise unto salvation. And then I will produce the fruits of holiness. And the end of that is eternal life. Where did I read that from? It says, learn of him. Let's take the first statement and we're going to finish right here. Learn of him. How do you learn? Come to church and read your Bible and pray. But I'm going to read your statement. First, Matthew 11:29 says, take my yoke upon you. I learn of me, he says. Not from Brother Ortiz, not from the church, from who? From him. We are preaching, but it's not me that is teaching you. The Holy Spirit that is in me, it is the Holy Ghost that is in you. Trains you. He says, take my yoke and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly heart, and you shall find rest. You know why so many people are still confusing this message, Brother Doug? You know, Brother Andy? See, God is not a God of confusion. So if somebody's confused, it's because they're not learning from the right person. Young people, you need to learn from him. Oh, yeah, he needs flesh. And he needs something to bring that. But I will yield myself to him. So you have to find a good church and a good pastor. Right. But it's not us, it's him. Right. Don't blame your pastor. Well, you know, blame somebody else because, you know, he wrecked you over the cold. Say, thank you, Lord. You love me. Thank you because you still love me. And you shall find rest. So we have a little people in church that still unrest. Not here, I'm talking about the churches. You know, people unrest. Why? You know, there's not two kind of Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost in me cannot behave one way and the same Holy Ghost in you behaving different. If somebody is confused, it's because we're not listening to the same Holy Ghost. I guess. I'm not confused. I know where I am. And I know who I am. And I know where I'm going. I'm not confused. No more. I used to be, but I'm no more confused. Now, Brother Brown says, and that's the reason that church is cool enough. That's why the great revival that just struck the land has put millions into the church. They have got to a place that they are using these experiences and so forth. As tradition. I told you what tradition was. Tradition is something that it looks, you know, that is biblical or scriptural. But when you go to the scripture, you don't find it. That's a tradition. No. So, but the pastor, I said, oh, yeah, it's in the Bible. Oh, it's a revelation. But when you go and look for it, show it to me. No. If not, it becomes a tradition. And we do have a lot of traditions in this message. I hate to say that, but, you know, people are waiting for the Brother Brian to come back, you know. That's a tradition. They show me where it's in the scripture. You want to make it like it's a scriptural, but there's no scripture for it. Show me where we're supposed to stop preaching on the pulpits and let. What is that? So you be careful, because if you cannot go through the, put all this through the filter of the Bible, and if we don't come out with the message, I will leave it alone. Somebody creates a tradition. You know, like I said the other day, you know, you got some churches in town that they took Brother Branham's statement that said, and it's a good statement, I mean, I will do it. I always try to do it, and sometimes I miss. But I like to come to church a half hour early. But that's not a doctrine. That's a tradition, but they want to make it a doctrine. So I'm going to close the gate. If you guys are not here in half hour, I'll close the gate, and if you come late, you out. What are you doing? You're harming people. I mean, because you don't know what happens. I mean, it is good to come a half hour, and he tells us why, so we can settle down, take the Bible, create an atmosphere. But we're not going to make that a doctrine. That's a tradition when we make a doctrine out of it. There are certain things in this message that we don't need to. We don't need to make more. We have enough with what we have, trying to make more, you know, burdens for the people. So anyway, let's leave that there. So it says tradition. So we have a lot of tradition, and tradition goes into doctrines. It says, instead of being godly, sorrowful, and letting the Holy Spirit do the work of his office, listen, young people, let the Holy Spirit do the work. Don't get unrest. Don't try to be confused, because sooner or later God will do the work in you. The Bible says he started the work and he will what? Finish. Just lay in the sun and let's let the sun, let's get ripe in the sun. He will do it. Make yourself available. Now, how to learn his office within you and creating in you a new life. And making you so, now listen to me, now listen to him. And making you so hungry to go where? Because that is the program. That's where you're going to learn. Listen, what we're trying to do is dress you up with the garment. We're trying to make you, you know, you have to make yourself ready. We will be providing you with what you need to make yourself ready. You might try to do it at home and listen at the tape, but I don't think that's going to work. It might work. I mean, it's good to listen at tapes. But this is God's program. And the ministers, they labor and they study and they seek God and they pray and they meditate and they lose sleep. I do. And we get tired. And now I'm getting more tired because I'm older too. But all it is so we can be a service to you to provide something so you can lead this service and put it on. We're trying to dress you. If you stay still a little bit longer, we probably could manage that. I remember my children, you know, 3 years old. They wanted to dress themselves, you know. Not all of them, but the last one. I don't know what it is about the last one. They like to be very independent. You know, the first one, no. The first one, you're still cleaning them and bathing them and, you know, still your. But the little ones, I don't know, Ileana, my last one, and Aaron, my last ones, they're very independent. And I think because, you know, they are the last ones, so they have to really, you know, show that, you know, I'm just as good as you are, you too, you know, in front of me. See? But they started dressing at 2 years old. I tried to dress Ileana one time. He said, no, I do it myself, Papa. Leave me alone. Okay. And she's coming out with the shoes in the wrong fit, and she comes with her pants turned around and shirt, you know. But see, don't try that. Spiritually, don't try that. Let us dress you up. We're going to provide you with the word. But the choice that you have is to put it on. We do our best. We lose nights. We lose sleep. I don't care what I have to do. But I will hand you the word. But you got to make a choice. It says, and making you so hungry to go to church that you cannot stay away from church. Don't look around, because then we know who's hungry and who's not hungry. They're not talking about anybody. But that's what I come to church, because the spirit in me makes me hungry and thirsty for righteousness. But like I said, they're not too Holy Ghost, so what happened? I don't know. I'm not going to worry. I'm going to worry about myself, because I am the only guy that I can do something about it. Amen. But I'm just reading what he says. He says, hungry to go to church that you cannot even stay away from church. Then, that is what it is. Not to sign tickets or join or have these forms. It is to have the life of Christ in you that you just long to go. And I want you to feel that way, young people. If that's the only way to feel, then nothing and nobody will separate you from the love of God. Because it's so strong in you. And the pull is so strong. You know, that's what I like the most. The pull and the drive is so strong. And I love it. I want him to make me. Oh, you're going crazy. Yeah, I want him to make me. Because I tried to make me, and that never did go anywhere anyway. It is to have the life of Christ in you that you just long to go. There is something within you, what? Driving you, pushing you to come to church. Because I want to learn more. I want to learn more about God. I'm not satisfied until I see a change or he comes. So I'm going to continue, but it's not me. I'm not a special. This is all for all of us. Because the same spirit in me that is pushing me and driving me will do the same thing for you. But the brother said, everything that I've done, he had to make me do it. I'm glad that he's pushing me, driving me to come to church. I'm not criticizing anything. I'm saying me, personally. That's how I feel. Now, become wise unto salvation. Need to hurry up. It's the second thing that I said. Isaiah 11, 2 and 3 says, and there shall come forth a rod of the stem of Jesse, talking about, prophesying about Christ, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of what? Wisdom, understanding. I gave you this before, but it's good to repeat sometimes. Understanding, counsel, might, and spirit, knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. There's not seven spirits. It's just one spirit. The Spirit of God doing it all. Amen. But see, this is the nature of God we're talking about. See? This is the nature of God. Wise, understanding all things, counseling, might, knowledge, fear. And he shall make him a quick understanding of the fear of the Lord, the reverence, respect, honor. See, and he shall not judge after the sight. I want you to listen at this. Because if you have the Spirit of God, this is what you do. Talking about having the life and the Spirit of God. And he shall make a quick, he says, and he shall not judge after the what? Don't judge the book by the cover. Right. Let's begin right there. So don't judge that bully. You don't know what's going on with that guy. You don't know that he's probably screaming for help. And that's the only way he knows how to. But don't judge by what you're looking at. Because you're going to be wrong anyway. Jesus, this is Jesus. Said, neither reprove after what? Don't use your senses. Don't use your feeling. Is what he's saying. Jesus said, I don't do nothing unless what? My Father will show me, or I see my Father doing. So that means it doesn't matter what he saw, it doesn't matter what he heard, it doesn't matter, it didn't affect his feeling, but he wasn't walking by feeling, young people. He was walking by communing with him and the direction and the guidance of the Spirit in him. And that's what you want, because you cannot judge every situation. Just because it looks like that, well, you know, I seen him the other day. I think he was doing that or the other. No, don't judge. Pray. Intercede. Jesus said, forgive him, Lord. Because they don't know what they're doing. See? Right there in the cross. After they've done what they've done. Because he would not judge him what he saw them doing and acting, the way they were acting. He wasn't judging what he heard. Don't judge your brother and your sister. Because you saw something that he might did not agree with you, how he was doing or she was doing. You don't know what was happening. Why don't you get to pray? Lord, show me what do I need to do in this situation. In the meantime, cover it up. Don't go and call sister so-and-so, sister superior, brother superior, you know. Hey, I saw brother so-and-so. You know what he was doing? Boy, that's gossiping. That's not trying to call somebody else so he can help you help for the poor guy. You're not trying to get somebody to pray. It's gossiping. Why don't you just cover it up? Ask God to show you what part you need to play in this, and you might not even play any part, but intercede as God will send somebody and take care of whatever situation it is. Do not judge by eye or by what you see or by what you feel. Get down on your knees and pray that God will give you wisdom, you know, to take care of this situation. He says, shall not judge by sight or eyes. Brother Branham says, you know, don't judge a man by eye or by what you hear. Because judge a man by the spirit. I prefer, he said, Brother Branham, I prefer to have someone that has no knowledge of this message but has a good spirit than the other way around. So when you judge somebody, if you're going to, the only way you can judge by the Spirit and the only way you can get in that realm is you are already in Christ and let the Lord show you the spirit of that man, discern that spirit. But not you, God. Because if you really love people, you will do that. You don't run them down. You don't gossip. You're trying to help. That's what Jesus did. He tried. He didn't care who he was. Even the poor soldier that Peter, the first action of Peter was get his sword and there goes the ear, you know. That was the judgment, see, because he was looking, he was taking this Lord, wow, and he got so, you know, he just took his sword. But what Jesus said, you know, if you live by the sword, you what? Die by the sword. But what Jesus do? I mean, they coming to take him. He takes the ear and what? And this is a guy that came to apprehend them. This is the enemy. This is not the good guys. But if Jesus can do that much, what do you think the Spirit of God will do in us? Okay, let's move forward quickly because I wanna get done. I still have some time. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Ecclesiastes 1:16. I commune with my own heart. This is Solomon. I want you to see. I commune with my own heart, saying, lo, I am come to great state. You know, Solomon, wisdom, and he was rich. He had everything. And I have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yeah, my heart has great experience, wisdom, and knowledge. I commune. It is a love affair with God. And he will teach you. It is a walk, a daily walk with God. It's praying, it's communing. In the car, I don't care where you are. Make provision anywhere you are. Because that's what Solomon, I mean, you want to listen to the wisdom of Solomon. He said, that's how I got what I'm right now. Because I seek God first. I seek God and his kingdom. And everything else just happened. I'm going to go quickly. So my son, Proverbs 5:1, my son, be attentive to my wisdom. This, it says, incline your ear to my understanding. Of course, you know, you cannot learn wisdom unless you have experience. Because wisdom is learned. At least godly wisdom is learned by costly experiences. However, I got something for you. You don't have to do something wrong to learn.
That's
That's not in the Bible. You know, I told my father, I was telling John, I told my father, he tried to help me. He says, I have experience in some, and I've been through that, and I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to be hurt. I don't want you. I'm trying to protect you from getting hurt. And you know what I told my father? I was so rebellious anyway. I said, Father, I don't want to live with you, by your experience. I want to make my own. Oh, my goodness, what a mistake. I want to live by my own experience. You know what I was saying? I'm going to go through what you went through, maybe worse, so I can learn. I could have learned. I didn't even have to go. I wouldn't even have to be in Vietnam. If I would have listened, I wouldn't have to do a lot of stuff. But see, I thought I was good and smart, and it's just an old foggy story. You know, what do you know? You're old fashioned. Well, I might don't know anything about technology, but humankind hasn't changed in 4,000 years. You're still doing the same thing you did 4,000 years ago. So, yeah, experience. And the way you learn experience is you be obedient, and you don't have to. You don't have to make mistakes to learn. I'm going to show you that Jesus says he learned obedience by what? By suffering. You know how he never made a mistake. He never did anything wrong. You know that, right? So how he had to learn obedience? Why? Because you can learn obedience by doing the right thing. That's all. That is counting to you as obedience. If your mom or your dad tell you do this or do that or whatever, and you do it, you don't have to disobey. So then later on you say, well, I should have. No, it's too late. But he learned obedience by doing everything that the Father asked him to do. And that is count as experience. Because he did it, and then he experienced the power of God behind him. He did it, and he experienced it. And the more you experience God in your life, the more wise you get. Because now you can look back and say, I already know about that, and I already know about that. See? But don't try to get into a place where you think you have to make a mistake to learn. It's not so. That's a lie of the devil. You don't have to do that. Obey your parents. Obey the Holy Spirit. Obey. Because I know what happened without experience. See, without experience, you only have theory. You have head knowledge. You know, that's when you graduate out of college and you go and fly for a job, you have theory. You have a lot of theory, but you have no practice. So they don't want to hire you. And if they hire you, they give you less than what you're asking for until they can teach you their ways. Because they already went through the experience and they know what's good, bad, and ugly. So you will not repeat the ugly and the bad, only the good. So they got to train you because you have no experience. Then you start learning experience. So if we don't get experience, then it's hard to make a right decision. But God will take you and people and your father and church. And, you know, that's what the Holy Spirit is here for. To give you that experience. Every time you experience God in your life, that's what the Bible said, that Abraham was patient and he learned experience in this patience. See, he believed God and he waited. He believed God and when it happened, he learned. He learned of God. Quickly, the next one is have the fruit of holiness. That's what the Spirit will do for you. Ephesians 5:27, that he might present into himself a glorious church, not having a spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that he should be holy and without blemish. See? Holy without blemish. In every sense. See? Holy and pure and perfect. Like God. And like Jesus was in flesh. Sinless. That's how he's going to present to you. Amen. His body. Without a spot against you, without a wrinkle. You know? So, Brother Brown says in the handwriting on the wall, he said, if you are a Christian, you will live like it. Is that simple enough? The fruit of the Spirit will follow you. That is the character, Brother Brown said, of Jesus. If the life of Christ is in you, here we go again, you will live the life of Christ. Amen. So don't fool yourself. Examine yourself. Is this message producing what it said it's going to produce? Is Christ producing? If not, then let's stop and everything and let's examine ourselves. You go to a pumpkin vine, you find pumpkins. You go to a grapevine, you find grape. Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. And he will make sure you produce the fruits. Following Christ, being obedience, obeying and letting God teach us all things and having experience with God, then you start producing fruits. Brother Brown says, and in the life of Jesus Christ ever puts on another body of a believer, and if the life of Jesus Christ ever puts out another body of a believer, it will bear the fruit that the first one did. That's what Brother Brown says. This right will put another branch, you know. It will write another book of Acts. Because if she puts another branch, it has to be the same as the first one. They will write a book of Acts behind it because it will be the same life. So that's what we are here for. We want to reproduce his life. That is our goal. And we don't want to fail. It says, Book of Acts and same life. See what I mean? Young people, God wants to reproduce his life on you. If you don't know what your purpose is, I'm going to give you a purpose. It's okay? You are coming here because God wants to live the same life he left in you. I mean, that's so simple. Now you have a purpose. You need to reproduce Christ in your life. So make provision to do whatever it takes that will happen. He says, you just cannot get away from it. It is the life of a Christ in you being injected in you by the Holy Spirit himself living his life through you. It is Christ living himself to what? Through us. And how do I know he's living? By the fruits that we produce. I'm almost one page. Oh, I got 2 minutes. One page. I promise I was not going to keep you to 9 o'clock or something like that. Nothing bad about it. It's just eternal life. That's the last item that I have here. Change of a body. That is the end result of our work. Ain't that what we're looking for? So you don't have to wait until the end to experience that. You can experience that every day. You know that? Because every time you do what he wants you to do, every time you do his will, you have been changed. You only can live today. Tomorrow is gone and yesterday is gone and tomorrow is not here. So today, if you live according to the Holy Spirit dealing in your life, you have changed. Because if he comes today, you go. Because that is expectation. So live every day like if it was the last day of your life. So if today is church and it will be the last day, where you want me to be? Well, I want to be at church, right? How do you know you're going to have a Monday? I don't know how people figure things out. How do you know you're going to, I want the next Sunday on the next revival. How do you know you're going to get to the next revival? You want to live your life like if it was the last day today. Forget about tomorrow. Forget about yesterday. You only have today. And what I want to do is please him today. And this is what he wants me to be. He went to church. This is what I'm bringing. It's not me bringing myself. It is Christ in me bringing himself to church. He wants to come to church. What do you think the Spirit of God wants to be today? He says, change of a body. And that is our heavenly calling, to be perfect as our God is perfect in heaven, to be filled with the fullness of God, maturity, to get to that maturity that was in Christ, and be Christ again in flesh, sinless, doing the right things, to have Christ dwelling continuously in our heart by faith, and to be rooted and grounded in love. I got two quotes and I will read them and I'm done. There's only one way to be a Christian. Listen to me, there's not three or four ways. There's only one Holy Ghost. So. This is my God's way, not your way or somebody else's way. There's only one way to be a Christian, that the word Christian means Christ-like. If you cannot do it, you cannot work in yourself. There's no way at all you can do it. Young people, don't try it. It won't work already. My experience, take my experience if you don't want to take another one. It don't work. You have to forget yourself. Not to forget, you have to forget yourself. So every morning, forget about yourself. This is not about you. This is about Him. Die out to yourself. And let Christ come in and live the life of Christ in you and through you. One more. Super sign. And if you are a sinner, the pool is waiting there. If you have never been baptized in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin, the pool is waiting. If you haven't received the Holy Ghost yet, you must have the token signed and you won't go through the gates. You must be the life of Christ in you. Can we stand? You must be the life of Christ in you. Amen. So how many Christ do you know how to show your hands? How many Christ do we have yet? Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we love you. We thank you, and I endeavor to deliver what you have put in my heart. And I pray that, Father, your will in heaven be done in earth. And your will has been presented, Father. And Father, we want that Spirit of God to drive us to do that, Father. To let you have preeminence in our life. Oh, I know this is for young people, there's a lot of things competing with that time. I mean, the world is full of stuff trying to compete. But nothing compete like you, Christ. Nothing can compete like you. Because you are life. The world don't give us any life. They just give us more problems and death. But thank you, because life is in you, Father. And tonight, Father, I just pray, Father, that you, if you're not coming soon, Father, that you take the young people, Father, and just fill them, Father. Use them, Father. Guide them and lead them, Father, through life. That they may be the next generation. This one is going by now, Father. And they are if you tarry, Lord, that is the next generation to take this baton and go forward with it, Father. And I'm asking, Father, I pray that you bless them, Father. Bless their parents that are bringing them up, the godly parents, Father. We have blessed the body of Christ and their gifts you have put in this church to keep the church clean and to serve one another. We thank you for our pastor. We thank you for the minister, the deacons, with the teachers, and so everybody that is trying to somehow, in whatever small or big part, trying to help in that endeavor, Father, to bring Christ in us, Father. Because that is the whole goal and the whole purpose, Father, that you will reproduce yourself in every one of us, God in flesh, once again. Father, we are so thankful for having a place still open that we can come, Father, and freely speak from our heart, Father. Thank you for our congregation and this body, Father, that you have put us on, Father. Thank you for letting us do the work that you has assigned to us, how little, how big, how small, it doesn't matter, Lord. I'm just happy that you allow me to do something, Father. I am so happy that I don't get my ministry small, but you know what's best for me. And I'm glad that you have let me have a little part, Father, in your kingdom, Father. And I pray, Father, that you bless your people tonight. You bless your people. You bless the people. You bless your bride around the world. You cover her, Father. Father, we ask you for the peace of Israel. We asking you to protect our families, Father, until they come to you. Touch their hearts, Father, and we pray, we intercede for them, Father, because we love them. And we are praying for one another, Father. Father, I need this body because I need the love, Father, that you have put in them. Father, because that is the only way you're going to express your love to mankind, to us. Father, I thank you, Father, for everything that you've been doing and you are doing and you will do. I am looking forward to see the church ready. If I'm still alive, Lord, I'm just looking for that glorious day when the church finally got dressed. I mean, people looking for revival and looking for your coming. Because I am already in revival, Father. I don't need no one to revive me. You are my revival. And I love you and I thank you for the opportunity and the honor that you have bestowed, Father, on me to do what I do. Because it's all you, Father. And thank you again, Father, for my brothers and sisters. I appreciate them much. I love them. And I want the best for them, Father. That we all one day just walk through the pearly gates. All like a big body, hand to hand. And we can sing, we made it. We made it. And we're not leaving nothing behind. And that's why we're spending the time to train the young people the way they should go. We're not leaving a hoop behind. So we pray, Father, that now you, as we dismiss the service, and now from your presence, be with each one of us as we return to our places, home. And I ask you to protect us, Father, protect our families from that evil one. And continue, Father, if it's another day, another Wednesday, we are in expectation already to come and hear more about you and from you. Thank you again, Father, and for the opportunity, and thank you for the privilege to stand behind this pulpit. And in Jesus' name, I ask you all these things. Amen and amen. Thank you. Yes, I surrender all. Sing that song without surrendering. God, lift your hands, surrender. Surrender. Oh, this is the sign of surrender. I surrender. Oh, to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender. I surrender.